When the trumpet of the march shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Now, dear friends, I want to begin at a rather high point today. You know, normally you work up to the high point, but I think the low-level Christian living of being most of the time in the flesh and just a minimal time in the spirit should really fill you with a sense of deep disgust. It should. Now, when God called Abraham, it seems a miracle to me that faith came into his heart in such a strong measure. So if you will turn to James 2nd chapter, we'll read this short passage from the 19th verse. Because we are taking mental cognition for real faith, which is a big mistake. Mental cognition, just a mental assent that has no follow-through with it, is certainly not the faith which the Bible speaks of. From the 19th verse, 2nd chapter of James. Thou believest that there is one God. Yes, we do. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. So then James goes on to Rahab. Very well. It's amazing how faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can take hold of even a heathen heart, especially when I see the background of heathenism and all the dark practices and the medley of beliefs, the muddled beliefs, let me say. It's a miracle. William Carey was told by one of the British officers, probably an official of the old East India Company, don't you see that you can't convert an Indian? That's impossible. Well, you know, the great educationists thought we are going to get these folks out of their belief in all these superstitions and dark practices by educating them, giving them a splendid education, being pioneers, mark you. They thought, we'll accomplish this so that these fellows will feel ashamed of their superstitious ways and quit them forever. But then their expectations were not fulfilled. Oh, what lovely institutions! What noble efforts to educate these folks and get them out of this bondage to their dark practices and beliefs. Well, you know, my dear friends, this is the history of all pagan or heathen people. And as to how faith came in, it's a miracle. If you look at your own life, and if you are truly converted, you would say, hey, isn't this a miracle? Such a person like myself should be changed. My attitudes, my thoughts, my motivations. You see, if indeed you are changed, that would come to you like a miracle. And your praise will be very real. And your product will be abounding. But you know, when this thing is all a hazy mental stuff, oh, you take, you linger along and you twiddle your thumbs and you hoo and you ha and you carry on that way. You feel at your own good pleasure, you can yield to God the obedience which you owe. You see, folks, there's a completely different attitude. I've been purchased at this great price. I have no business or right or any property rights over myself. I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, and every power in me had better be dedicated totally to the service of the one who could love a wretch like me and who did love a wretch like me. You see, friends, it's an altogether a different level to which you are transported instead of just living in doubts and fears and, oh, what about this darkness here? Behind that lamppost may be a ghost, and so on and so forth. You know, friends, you're ready to take the word of God as it is. Faith in the Lord Jesus is such a marvelous thing. It delivers you from your fears, your doubts, your inaction, and all your devious ways. You know, character gets twisted under the reign of sin. And I cannot understand Christian conversion which does not impact character. That's not conversion. So I find that some of these supposed believers, they can speak lies. They can turn up in the divorce courts. Oh, they can do their thing and still carry on as Christians. And nobody raises an eyebrow. And when Islam comes along with its teaching of jihad or hatred of Jesus as the Son of God and the denouncing of Jesus, oh, you know, there's no other way to go but to accept Sharia or some of these ways that are confronting us so formidably that we better shrink and retreat before them. There's no Jesus there. There's no resurrection power there. There's no faith there. There's no church there. It is all make-believe and a structure without its foundation and titles that carry no weight with God. Folks, look, we can't play with faith. Faith is so real. And we have made it an intangible kind of abstract, you know, take it or leave it kind of thing. No, this faith comes in with a solid confession. I believe. He that believeth in the heart and confesseth with the mouth. You know, recently I had a few visitors. And these visitors had some kind of problem. And they got mixed up about some church affairs. And they came to see me. And the first question I asked them was, tell me, have you taken your stand with Jesus in your office? You know, there are certain favors which the government bestows upon those that remain quasi-Hindus. You see, that is, in their office, they hold their ranks and their position and their promotions because they do not acknowledge Jesus. Shocking. So I said, first tell me, what are you in your office? And you, and you, and you. And soon I saw the bunch of them. Almost the whole lot, except perhaps one, had their feet stuck in heathenism and they were trying to dabble in church affairs. I said, listen, you have no right to open your mouths. You betray Jesus and then you want to come and have leadership and talk about church matters? Never. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Let us pray. Lord, I don't want to be a talker. I want that compassion that the cross generates. At the starting line, with the cross behind me, to be my real motivation. Hear our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan, 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.